Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 163. You can't tell, but we're all in different seats.
And musical maybe they chairs.
Can tell. They might be able
it's
to tell.
It's quadraphonic.
Yeah. True.
Maybe they can't tell.
Like, but Pat sounds like he's coming from the passenger side of my car now. Normally it's driver's side.
I know, yeah. So I apologize, but things have changed up because we got rid of somebody. Well, we didn't get rid of him, but just as well.
Dave and I are still in the back seat, though. We just swapped.
Yeah. Well, normally, you and I are in the back seat, and Dave's in the rumble seat.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. That's right.
So this is the all-new...
All-new now.
Pittsburgh Comics Podcast.
Yes. Number 163. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Pat.
Josh.
Dave.
I lost my second spot with the
intros. That's right. Well, you're... Yeah, sorry.
All discombobulated.
Your spot well, these, is still the same.
These
no,
aren't...
You're wrong.
Well,
it's like, you can, we're done.
Hold on.
This.
You can do the catchphrase at the end, though.
I don't want to be poor man's Adam.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, you know what to say there.
No, I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
So. Sorry, Adam. Josh doesn't want to even be a poor version of you. Wow. Okay. News and announcements. Well, not news, but announcements. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. Previews orders are due on Thursday, so please let me know. I will be working probably tonight.
It just came out.
Not that previews. March previews. So if there's anything special in there you see you want, let me know. Primarily, especially things in the back of the book. The big guys in the front, Marvel, DC, IDW, Image, and Dark Horse... Don't worry too much about. I should have, or I can always adjust those. But it's the stuff in the back, action figures, T-shirts specifically. If you want, let me know, because a lot of times I can't get those after the fact. Let's see, back issue sale going on through the end of the month. That's everything in the boxes and any of the high price stuff.
Yeah, clarify.
Clarify, when I said wall books, normally that means books up on the wall by the counter, not the books, new comics, or anything on the new comic
walls.
But not
walls. New ones on the wall up there.
No, not the special variants, just the back issues. Yeah. And, yeah, the other thing I know is Free Comic Book Day is right around the corner, which freaked me out a little bit. We're about 5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Yeah, so start planning your attack now. I am trying to work on that as well.
You need to start planning your attack.
Yeah. So, news-wise, not so much news. It was just something that came up today. No. It's just something that came up today that I just kind of wanted to address.
Chair. He thinks that's the newscaster's chair.
Apparently, yeah. No, but it's just about speculators have kind of reared their ugly head, fueled by Bleeding Cool these last 2 weeks. And just to kind of say, I don't know, don't go nuts. Like he, all of a sudden, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 44 just went nuts. Because it was the death of Donatello.
Who's not really
but
dead.
But he's not really dead. And those books that I saw going for $80 on eBay are going to be worth $4 next week. So.
Don't be a sucker.
Don't be a
don't
sucker.
Get played.
Same thing. This week I saw a lot of stuff on Bleeding Cool about Darth Vader number 3 going for $15 online. Because it's in short supply. Well, it's in short supply this week because Marvel got some boxes late to Diamond, so most stores only got about 70% of their order. We are getting the other 30% next week. So if you can't wait a week and want to spend $15 a piece, more power to you. But if you're willing to wait a week, I'm sure
you can get
I have more coming next week, and I'm sure all the other stores are. So it's just a little irritating seeing this false... speculator stuff going on when there's no need for it.
These are not the books.
These aren't rare books. These aren't going to be worth anything special in the future. And people are going to be paying through the nose. And that's kind of what happened before. And I don't want to see the market crash due to bad
info.
Yeah. So that's all I wanted to. That's all the news I had. It was just more commentary. Yeah, that was commentary,
yeah.
Opinion piece. So, Pat, what else happened this week?
Well, let's see. Archie is going to have its own horror line. And included in that horror line is a new book. And, theoretically speaking anyway, the return of two of our favorite books.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Supposedly, Afterlife with Archie and Sabrina will be returning this spring, one in April, one in May. Now, whether or not that actually happens.
I can't believe it.
I'll believe it when I see it.
To be honest with you, trick people into thinking that this just came out.
Yeah, well, no, but
by the number one, and then
no, but part of that is it's also easier to sell ones if I have a number two. Oh, what's this? Oh, I'll get this and that. Where I'm just okay. I have these ones; they've been sitting there, and actually, those aren't going to be there next week. So,
where are they going to be?
Well, I have another special cover coming next week.
Super secret.
Super secret. No, Puppet Master number one, Pittsburgh Comic exclusive cover.
Like Puppet the Master.
Movies,
Puppet
yes, Master? Like the horror movies. Oh, new okay. From Action Lab is coming out next week. That? I want to say Sean Gabrin, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm doing a favor for the publisher, so I didn't put a whole lot of. I didn't look too close. They asked. They had one. They had eight specific store covers that they had for it, and they sold seven of them, and they needed to sell the eighth. So they asked me if I'd do it. I said, yeah. So I didn't put a whole lot of.
What a nice place Pittsburgh Comics is.
It was. I'm a little. I kind of got a little bit of the shaft on this one. So.
Don't you always get the shaft in some way?
This one, I really did.
This was a
bend over and grab your ankles one.
It's been years since I've seen the Puppet Master movies.
I can honestly say I don't think I've ever seen the Puppet Master movies.
It's really bad B movie horror type thing. You know, my guess is though that this comic is not going to be appropriate.
You're correct. I'm 100% willing to state.
It's
going to
be an M.
How many copies do you have coming in with you?
500.
What?
I vaguely remember those, but didn't one of them like have a drill on it?
Yeah, that was one, and there was one that had like six arms with guns, and okay.
So it's family
How
friendly.
Did that happen?
Yeah. I'm doing them a favor.
I wish you'd give me favors like that.
You wouldn't even go to 100 on Darth Vader,
right? Well, no, it's just that was. But I'll have those next week. So
Colin
please buy lots.
Be nice to people, and nice things happen.
He'll tell us after the podcast.
Yes.
So, again, theoretically, Afterlife and Sabrina come back, and a third book as to
be Rising announced. From the Dead, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, again, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Just because you know, it's been so good, but the scheduling is killing sales, and even right now, you can't get the trade. So it's just
you can't get the trade.
Well, they're probably doing another printing, but it's just out of stock
now,
and it's just one of those. Could you guys stumble with this anymore? Oh, and you're going to bring out a third?
Right now, this
book?
Is the trade.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm seeing of Archie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that came out 6 months or 5 months ago. That came out in October.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just one
I
of those.
I thought it was November.
No, it came out before Halloween.
See, I thought it didn't, and I even said that.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been a good Halloween book. And
yeah. It came out before Halloween.
They listened to you,
but
they didn't do more after.
It'd be the only one that does listen to me.
Oh,
I don't care. The next thing was the Russo brothers, who were the guys that they directed Winter Soldier. Have
a lot
signed
of
on
episodes too.
Okay, they've signed on to do the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2, which is good because Winter Soldier was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I have a real hard time believing that Joss Whedon's going to completely step away from that role.
He'll probably be a producer, consultant, or something.
He's kind of built the foundation of the universe. I got to think he'll be part of it. The X-Files is returning.
Yep.
I think it's a limited 6-episode run, though.
Yeah, it is. 6 episodes.
I'll take 6.
But I think they might like. Do a second, another season afterwards. It's going to be like an event per season.
Oh, did okay. I gotcha.
See, this is where you guys are. I don't want to say too young, but I mean, this is hitting
X-Files.
But from the beginning, like I'm thinking, like I remember Twin Peaks was on right after I graduated college, and it's
I was like in.
Okay,
I was grade
but I'm just yeah. But I'm just like, and there's more of that. So it's like they're appealing right to me. It's like, oh, you want more of that show you loved? Here you go. It's like,
I would have thought,
thank you.
I would have thought in your 50s though.
Stop it! I am not
time.
In my 50s. God, I'm not that far away, but I'm not in my 50s.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember anything. No, it makes me feel
Willie. That's all he remembers.
So my mother-in-law still likes to watch Mr. Ed, so that makes me younger by default.
Okay.
My favorite Martian.
The monsters.
Monstrous.
Part of me hopes they just do standalone episodes with that instead of
even just do a 90-minute episode, but make it, you know, expand it a little, but make it complete. Yeah,
instead of just dealing with the continuity of the alien invasion and all that kind of stuff.
Are you looking forward to the Twin Peaks?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I love
Twin Peaks. Showtime is coming back on?
One of those, yeah. I'll be watching it.
Oh, is that what
I loved Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Season 1. Season 2.
Season 2 was not good. Season 1 was fantastic.
It was a short season. There's only like 8 episodes.
Maybe. Yeah, I tried to watch it again here. Not that it was bad, but you really had to pay attention. It wasn't something you could kind of...
No, you can't.
You know, it was on in the background. I'm pricing books. You know, that's how I watch most of my TV is here.
Yeah.
That's why, personally, I hate AMC right now, because there's so much. There's 2 shows I want to watch on it, and I can't because it's not on Hulu.
Which shows?
Better Call Saul and Walking Dead. I can only watch it home where I have them recorded.
Better Call Saul has been awesome.
Yeah, but I can only watch it after midnight. And guess
why
what?
Because
Sandy's up doing. You know, we're watching shows and stuff. She doesn't watch it, so I can only watch when she's not watching, and it's. You know, it's much easier. I'm here all day. This is where I watch 90% of my TV. And by watch, I mean
in the
background while I'm doing stuff. Like, I watched Flash, last week's Flash, 3 times here, and then finally once at home when I was sick.
And
holy crap, a lot of stuff happened. That I missed 90% of it here. Like, Arrow last week, all of a sudden I look up and there's Ra's al Ghul wearing the costume. I'm like, what the? Okay, I missed something.
Wait, Ra's al Ghul is... they switched places. You didn't know that?
I think it's ice cream.
Is that an Uber driver? Or a Lyft? Lyft, I'm sorry.
I think that is my wife with ice cream sandwiches.
Sorry, guys. Not you listeners at home. I'm sorry they're not being delivered to you.
Yep.
Well, if you want to send your address... No, I'm kidding.
If you want a Lyft ride... I was wrong.
Oh.
It was her car. Or it was, and she's just being heartless right now.
I'm going home.
Yeah?
That's a podcast.
Yeah.
There, I said it. You guys happy now?
Now you are a poor man. The next thing, and this just came out today, but they had a picture of Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Which, that is not a picture of Lex Luthor. It's a picture of Jesse Eisenberg.
With no hair.
Shaved. Like, everyone's saying... It's Lex Luthor. He's not dressed like him or anything. It's
no, but that's...
What is Drek? A suit?
But it's not him, like, on set or in... It's just... He has a stern look.
But he doesn't normally have a shaved head, so...
Or a stern look.
Oh, there's one piece of news. It's not news, but I'll... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's rumor that... I think it was on Flash, that Tom Welling is going to reprise his role as... It's going to be Superman on an episode of Flash.
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
Really?
He's going to vibrate into another dimension, like Flashpoint or something, and Tom Welling will be there as Superman.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be
in costume,
I'm assuming. In costume, yeah. I thought that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool, yeah.
Wow.
I would love that.
I always thought that was, and I never understood the logic since they're separating the 2 universes, but you can't use the big 3.
But if they do this and then they can establish... a multiverse, so then it makes more sense that the movies are separate and different Flash actor, and I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of Smallville, but I think that'd be really cool if they did that.
Yeah, I do too.
Tied it all together.
But I thought that was cool.
Dean Cain will be Superman 2 whenever he's on Supergirl.
Could be. Yeah, because what, Dean Cain and Helen Slater are both going to be on Supergirl.
Yeah,
the original Supergirl.
Yeah. Well, and they flat out said that Superman will play a part in the Supergirl show.
And I'll admit it, I actually liked Dean Cain as Superman in Lois and Clark.
I never got into that show, so I don't...
I don't know what it was. I liked it. I liked him as Clark Kent in Superman, even though I can recognize that he's not a great Clark Kent because he doesn't have that, like, nerdy...
Humble.
He still comes across like the cool guy.
Yeah,
as Clark Kent. But
Lex had hair in that show, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So that was pre.
But he was still like that, you know. Businessman, like evil. Not like I love Gene Hackman, Lex Luthor, but he was more like. Goofy, and even Kevin Spacey, which I like Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor.
But Kevin Spacey was playing a riff off of the
Gene Hackman
character.
Luthor, but like, neither of them came across as like that, have this whole corporate empire,
right?
Persona.
Yeah. Well, actually, and it was a cartoon of All-Star Superman. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But, Lex is in prison the whole time. Mm-hmm. But that characterization of him and the confidence, that's what I picture. And that's, we talk about, the voice, when you're reading the comic, and that's the voice I hear in my head when it's Lex Luthor talking, is that, mm-hmm. Not Gene Hackman.
I mean, I love Gene Hackman in his movie.
Oh, yeah. The first two.
He's in three.
No, he's in four.
Yeah, not, like, a ton, though. Those clones. Or makes the,
Radiation Man, yeah. Or whatever
his name is.
Nuclear Man, yeah. Nuclear.
We should just call him Firestorm. Made him Firestorm.
And the other thing that came out is they announced a Jubilee. Everyone's favorite X-Men is going to be in X-Men Apocalypse.
How does that work? Like, isn't this movie still taking place too early for Jubilee to be around yet?
That's what I thought, too, because they had her in the original X-Men movies, which, okay, puts her as a teenager in 2000. They did. They didn't call her out by name, but Asian girl wearing yellow, big earrings, that's Jubilee.
Yeah.
So, so if she was there in 2000, she was in high school, essentially. In the 80s, she'd be an infant. And that they definitely
those
did not...
Movies cast those movies don't exist anymore because of the change in the timeline.
So it changed so much that her parents had her 20 years earlier? 30 years earlier, because she's being played by an older actress.
My issue is that they've cast Jean Grey, and have they cast some of the other like core X-Men also, Rogue and Cyclops and whatnot?
That I don't know, but even there, so
they cast young Cyclops.
I would think
Jean
those
Grey
characters have to be established to be a little bit older before we can start bringing in like a Jubilee.
Well, yeah, and that's Sophie Turner is what, 21.
She'd be older, but she...
She's young.
She's really a young Jean Grey.
And when you think
Jubilee
about
Jubilee and Jean Grey are not the same...
They're not contemporaries,
Jean Grey is like a mentor to that class.
Exactly. So I don't understand how that works, but... apparently it's because we asked for it.
Who doesn't want Jubilee?
Not just asked, Pat, you demanded it.
Yeah, that's right, because I demanded it.
So demanding.
Yep. That's all I got for news.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, so we can either go to books or previews.
You know what?
You're the boss.
I'm asking for input. I don't want to be a dictator.
Dave, what would you rather do? Books or previews?
Let's look at previews.
Because we got a lot of commentary
that,
for that
so
anyway.
Good call, Dave. Way to take charge.
Yeah.
He saw the big stack of books I wanted to talk about. That's why I did that. Okay.
Call
so,
us parents, we're going to shoot this down.
Yeah. We have the April preview. Sadly, we do not have the Marvel part because it all, along with the Darth Vader's, did not. Yeah. Interesting comment was brought up. Either it didn't make it to Diamond in time or they decided not to send me mine just out of spite.
Marvel, what's coming out in June? You'll see.
Well, you got to figure it out first,
are there new
and then
books
you'll
coming?
See.
Is it continued for more than 2 months? Maybe.
Wow, are you bitter, Josh? That was Josh, not Colin.
Look, Marvel's sending me out to you now.
Okay, man, hate.
I'm channeling
anger. Oh, you're channeling me.
I'm
okay.
Like a sponge. I absorb all these bad feelings you have here. And Mickey
okay,
Mouse
a car just
his,
popped, pulled
his,
up, so
Mickey
we
Mouse
might.
Mouse with his billy club is going to come over.
Oh boy!
That was a pretty good.
That was
Mickey Mouse
that was
there.
A pretty good Mickey Mouse.
Almost as good as my Colin.
Okay, so I guess starting at Dark Horse. Now you guys have been flipping through this release. Josh has. I haven't really looked at, it, but I had no idea this was coming. Black Hammer, a new book by Jeff Lemire, horror book from Dark Horse. Very cool with some great covers.
He's doing it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as much as Cullen Bunn. Holy cow.
Cullen Bunn used to be the guy that they just like randomly put on books.
They put him on books. Yeah. He was where books went to die.
But then suddenly his books started doing well.
Yeah.
And he got a thing going. Oh yeah, I have heard about this.
Okay, yeah, I had not heard anything about it. So very cool. Now I'm not intentionally flipping by. I'm just flipping past issue three and stuff.
Over here.
Oh man. Okay, make sure you rub it into the cloth on the chair, please.
No problem.
Uh oh, what happened?
Adele having trouble with the door?
Hi.
So yeah, not a lot of new stuff from Dark Horse. Oh, there's a new another new Plants vs. Zombies mini series. What did you bring us, ma'am?
This looks like Bruce from Black Hammer.
Yeah.
Oh,
got some napkins.
Oh, we don't. And we got a tea. And another tea.
I think T stands for twist.
And we got T. Oh, I see where you're going with that.
I got you.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Yeah, well,
thank you.
Thank you.
One for each of you.
Well, thank you. You can... Thank you so much.
Thanks, bud. Tell mom you said thanks.
Yes. We got a Mulan book. That's weird.
She knows.
She knows, okay.
Yeah, when I saw that and I just saw the title Mulan, that wasn't what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it definitely looks like the same maybe story, but yeah, it's not a Disney book.
I wouldn't have done that.
What? What? Brought anybody food?
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. Yeah.
Thanks.
Kind of guy you are.
Yeah.
What page are we on?
I don't know.
I'm just kind of flipping through Dark Horse. Not a lot of new. That's the only thing I'm skimming through. We got a Goon statue. $150. I wish Goon sold better. I haven't read it, to be honest. So
I hear they're people probably praising all the time.
Yes.
Though.
Yes, so do I. I just...
So Archie versus Predator is being released by Dark Horse.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, I didn't realize it was... Oh, maybe I did in miniseries.
Yeah, no. I knew it was like a five-parter. Yeah. Eight-parter would have made more sense.
Wouldn't it?
That's been really good.
But just call it a book five is...
Yeah. That's what I said.
Okay, remember, grind this in. Rub it on the floor.
Okay, I will.
So you got any, seen anything, Josh?
Take chocolate and spray. Adam was here.
I can do that.
I think I'm still behind where you guys were at.
I'm up to DC.
Yeah, I'm still...
So yeah, most of it was just next issues. Not that that's a problem, but just not trying to point out stuff. But DC has a swirl of number ones coming.
What is the cool statue? The Goon statue?
Yeah. So we've got 24 number ones, and little things were kind of funny here in the store today. Like somebody was kind of bemoaning the fact that DC is, you know, renumbering because collectors like their numbers and stuff, and I'm like, well, you know, contrary to other evidence, I'm going to say they can disagree with
what
that.
What are they renumbering?
Well, like Batman and Robin is ending at 40, and then
it's
turning.
But it's not renumbering.
Right? No. But then it's becoming Robin, son of Batman. But one of the things is like, who wants to read a Batmite book? And it was just funny that Pat and Josh both raised their hands. So different, I guess. Different, you know.
In his defense, I only raised my hand to be argumentative.
No, I actually am going to read
it. I know,
Batmite.
But like, I had no interest in a Batmite book. I'm not against it. If it's all ages, I might buy it for Adele, but me personally. I just, when he said it, I thought, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Let me be a jerk, too. Yeah.
Well, Pat did it. He looks like he's having a good time.
Pat's a jerk. Justice League of America by Brian Hitch.
I call you a jerk, Pat.
Now, Josh did kind of lose it. He's like, $5.99, but it is a 56-page book, so that's going to be a darn big number one. And hopefully it gives us a lot of Justice League action. Better than the current stuff has been good, but I want to see, like, the whole team in action and stuff. That cover just looks really good.
The description makes
There's
it sound like...
There's a lot of variants of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The description makes it sound like it's going to be more of, like, the less...
I didn't notice that.
Less complex story, more... like, all-out action, like, movie-esque Justice League book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
just
what...
Just the way
it
says, like, massive widescreen Justice League action.
And that's what he's there for. That's his art style. Yeah. I mean, if you think back to Ultimates.
Batman Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll make a little more sense after you read today's Future's End.
Really?
Oh, yeah? Last week's Future's End.
Well, last week's, but... No, actually, this week's won't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, I don't see how this is getting set up. It must be set up by number 52, so... But then we have Bizarro.
I just hope it's Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond, and not someone else. But
what is it?
Hmm?
Read it.
Oh, the description?
Well, it doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Out loud? Oh, jeez, man. At last, Batman Beyond gets his own ongoing series in the definitive future of the DCU. But this isn't the Beyond you think you know. With the Justice League missing and without Bruce to guide him, this new Batman will need to explore this bizarre world on his own while fighting to raise humanity from an opponent that's already won. The heroes Batman knew have failed. The world he knew has been turned on its head, and every step he takes will lead him either toward finding home or further down the road of disaster.
Well...
So this is in the future. I mean,
that does
spin sound
right.
Like
that does spin right out of where Future's End kind of left you at the end of the 51.
You just wanted to hear me read.
No, but I'm saying it. I thought it said it's not the Batman Beyond you think you know. So, but just not the Beyond you think you know. But then Bizarro,
which if you haven't done so yet,
you got to read.
Go read Action Comics 40.
Yeah, that was
has the Bill and Ted cover. Well.
No, I got the last Bill and Ted cover.
Last Bill and Ted cover was sold, so you missed out on that, but still the story is phenomenal. It doesn't worry about how it's happening or why it's happening. It was just awesome.
I love this line, though. If there's one thing this issue does not have, it's these two things. Jimmy Olsen and Chupacabras.
Okay.
I really hope that this is in the same vein as that Action Comics, because that was Greg Pak that wrote that.
But that's my guess is he was going to do that. Okay, yeah. Eating during the podcast is really a bad idea.
Yeah,
we should have paused.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, people at home.
I'm not sorry.
No,
I'm enjoying an ice cream sandwich.
Well, no, right. Okay, then we got Black Canary, Brendan Fletcher, Nanny Wu, Constantine the Hellblazer. I'm glad they're getting the Hellblazer name back into it, because I think just Constantine, granted that's the name of the TV show, but can you back up, Dave? I need to check.
Yeah, and the rumor I heard with the Hellblazer thing, and again, rumor, was that Sci-Fi might pick up the show and then rename it Hellblazer.
But I don't think we're going to hear about that until May.
Yeah.
They do their,
but this book comes out in June, so that might work out.
I hope they do that, because I think that show ended up being a very good show for what it was, and completely blew away my expectations, because I didn't have much hope for it.
I did not have a warm and fuzzy for that.
So it's a shame the show didn't get enough viewers, but I think, if they were in for a second season and maybe market a bit better, that it could...
Well, I think it didn't get enough viewers for the network it was on, because if it was
on Sci-Fi, that it's less...
Yeah. Well, the network is on, the time it was on, the fact that they moved it during the middle of the season.
Even fans you had, out of the gate, they were saying, oh, it's going to be watered down, it's going to be this, it's not going to be that. If you gave it a chance for a few episodes, it got... pretty good.
Yeah, but I really like the art on this. I think Riley Rossum was a perfect artist for Hellblazer. Yeah. So, but I mean, the series might be back. Depends on how strong, that last push on it was, especially through on demand and things like
DVR,
that.
DVR, that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got Doomed with Scott Lobdell kind of spinning out of that Doom storyline. Dr. Fate with Paul Levitz. So that could be interesting. I think he definitely got some buzz from Earth 2. So it might be a different character or something, but the idea of Dr. Fate. Earth 2 Society 1. Future's End really kind of threw you a little twist on this one.
Okay.
So, interesting.
I like the idea that it's not, never read today's Future's End, but it's not people that are on Earth Prime.
Correct.
But it's them, I guess, colonizing a new world,
right,
essentially. Within their same universe. That's one thing, when he said that they were all, like, in beginning of Future's End and with World's End.
Right.
They're coming to a different universe. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't they just go to a different, like, planet? Why are they coming to a different universe? Right. So, looks good.
Green Lantern, Lost Army. That's kind of taking the other three Green Lantern books and doing something with them.
With that core group starring Jon Stewart, 2-6, Kilowog, Arisia, and surprise guest star, we promise you'll never predict.
Groot. That's my guess.
Man, if they had like a Groot character ring, they just take a tree off a Mogo and it's...
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so we got Harley Quinn and Power Girl, 6-issue mini, kind of following up from the little team up they had.
I think Power Girl's chest actually got bigger for this cover.
Oh, I can't believe a woman would never. Oh, never mind. Sorry, it was Amanda Conner. Justice League 3000, number one. So, again, there's a number one that's really not a number one. It's just the next issue of that. Is it just me or the cover blurry?
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know
maybe
what it
is? Supposed
it's,
to be?
The foreground is blurry, but the background is clear.
But that just was hurting my eyes. We got a Martian Manhunter book. So that could be interesting.
And Martian Manhunter hasn't done anything.
He's here and there.
He's issues with
Stormwatch.
Yeah.
He's been
a
big thing in JLU.
Okay.
Okay.
Leading that team.
Then we got Midnighter spinning out of Grayson. And I know they made a big thing about him being, I don't know, the first
openly
gay ongoing thing, and they're not going to just, he's gay.
Which, how's he the first openly gay ongoing? You had Batwoman who was
that's true.
Lesbian.
Yeah, no, good point. But they made some comment about that, so.
Male.
Yeah.
Well, except for Alan Scott.
That's what I'm saying,
Okay. Well, he didn't have his own book. Omega Men, that could be interesting because I remember that one from the 80s.
And especially the Solicit.
Yeah. Yeah, where they've murdered White Lantern, Kyle Rayner. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got Prez number one. I think definitely fitting in with the timing. And everybody seems... that's a 12-issue series. But yeah, just... I've heard a lot of people excited about that one, like people in the business. So it's like, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why. Red Hood or Arsenal, so basically Red Hood and... The Outlaws is becoming Red Hood and Arsenal.
Dropping Starfire.
Getting her own book.
Yeah, but looking to be continuing. Then we got Robin, Son of Batman, which is just Batman and Robin, but now it's Robin set out on his own. Patrick Gleason. Yeah, some...
Which makes me wonder if he still has powers, if he's on his own. I guess I'll read today's and see what...
I did not read today's, so I can't answer that one. Yeah. Sets out to forge his own destiny and intone for the shameful year of blood. Okay, we've got Section 8, number one. That's a 6-issue mini. That's a team spinning out of the Hitman series Garth Ennis did, and it's the same creative team, Garth Ennis and John McCrae. Rated T+, that would be my guess.
The reborn dog welder, my goodness.
Yes, we're the guy who welds dogs to people, yes.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, the dog welder.
He welds dogs to people.
Really?
Okay.
That's him right there.
That
you're intrigued now, aren't you? See? You're intrigued.
I mean, I'll be honest. I thought you were lying to me.
Yeah, like, why didn't you put that? Because people are just sick and be like, oh, wow, welding dogs to people?
Next time, start with the dog.
Start with the dog. I'm sorry. Okay, Starfire, number one. Again, spinning out of Red Hood and the Outlaw. She's getting her own book.
But not nearly as trampy.
With more clothes.
Yeah like...
Not much more, but...
I'm surprised that this is, like, the less trampy, more clothes. Oh, actually, she doesn't look trampy. Just still not very much clothes.
She's got full sleeves, man. What are you talking about?
Know. Yeah.
And it's by the same team that does Harley Quinn, so... Yeah. She'll be in the same vein.
Yeah.
And then We Are Robin, spinning out of the pages
we
of
are?
Batman. The teenagers
we
of
are?
Gotham
Speak
City have
yourself,
adopted
sir.
The R and made it their own. So those are the new ones. Then we're, continuing on all the new ones, or the continuing series. It is the Joker cover month, so...
Except for one book.
Beware for that, yeah. And then we got some interesting stuff at the end of this. Hang on, we might have some Vertigo. I didn't look to see if there's any new Vertigo.
Well,
there's a Mad Max book. Yeah, there's a new Mad Max Fury Road book. There's a what? Batman?
Oh, the Batman suit, the new
Yeah,
suit.
We'll find out more about both of those, the new suits and Free Comic Book Day. Those stories are both premiering there. Okay, nothing else new Vertigo, other than Fables 22 is also the last issue. Interesting way to do it.
Ending on a 22?
Volume 22. It's issue 150 and the trade volume 22.
Okay.
Then we got the more Arrow and Flash figures. We got the John Diggle, Felicity Smoke, and Arsenal figures, and the Captain Cold figure.
With parkour pose.
Parkour. And then we got the Batmobile that people have been excited about.
It's a pretty awesome Batmobile.
Yeah. Holds two figures, and we got a couple more figures. We got the Catwoman bombshell, the Jill Thompson Wonder Woman, and... In the Cover Girls, we got a Red Lantern Bleeze with an awesome base.
I really like that Bleeze.
Yeah. And then something I had not seen before, but it's one of those, gosh, how many of these do I have to order? It is, we have the Catwoman on a motorcycle, the Gotham City Garage Catwoman, and I just ordered one and sold it right away. Now we're getting a Harley.
Harley on a Harley.
Harley on a Harley, which is really quite fantastic. At least the detail looks quite stunning.
The
face
the tattoo
is fantastic. Yeah. Well, I think the tattoo's blown up behind so you can see it. But just, yeah, that is quite a piece, but at $350, it's tough.
Ooh, wow.
But, you know, you still, oh, even the tattoo designed by Catherine Branagh, even right in the listing. Wow. And it designed by fan favorite artist
Dust in the Wind.
And look what's coming off the back of the tire there.
Dust in the Wind.
And then we got a John Constantine statue, which looks pretty good. I'll have to get another one. I do like my other one that I already have, though. And then we have the Dr. Fate helmet that I had seen before.
Colin will be ordering.
If you want one, let me know. Yeah,
both the regular and the 24-karat.
Yeah,
gold
we got
plate.
A $500 one and an $800 one. So, but it's also nice to see Batman Black and White by Lee Bermejo is coming back with a second edition. So, because I get a lot of requests for that one, so at least they're coming out with some more. So now, moving on to IDW, looks like we got a new Ghostbusters mini, some more Garbage Pail Kids. I did see an artist edition, but I didn't see what it was, so I was all excited. Oh, Marvel Man, Artifact Edition, okay, with just some pages.
Miracle Man?
Miracle Man, I'm sorry. Well, it said Marvel Man on the page I was looking at.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, and then Mike Zeck, Artist Edition. Very cool. I love Mike Zeck's Captain America covers are still some of my favorite covers of all time. So let's see. Mickey Mouse number one. Still find it bizarre that IDW is doing this.
I'll bet you the value of the licensing is probably more than what they can make having Marvel do. Or they see what's going on at Marvel and they said, you're not touching our
corporate
mascot.
It could be. Who knows? Okay, now one thing I'm seeing, Bacchus Omnibus Edition by Eddie Campbell. This is something I've heard about. I've never actually read. So that's interesting to me. Now, yeah, Eddie Campbell did From Hell. So I'm intrigued by this. But yeah, 576 pages for $40. That's pretty good. Johnny Boo meets Dragon Puncher. Ooh, yeah. I know. It's funny, a lot of people don't understand the kid stuff, but kid stuff does really, really well.
I don't know anything named Dragon Puncher.
You had like 8 kids in here earlier today.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Lots of kids. I had 14-week-old babies. They weren't reading yet. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're impressive kids.
They weren't reading, but it was just kind of very funny. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Image. What do we got new from Image? James Robinson has a new book, Airboy. That's an old book, actually. I mean, old character. Yeah, 1940s action hero.
Oh, yeah, that was an Eclipse comic.
So I don't know Greg Hinkle, but... Star, Brian Wood, a new one with Daniel Zezel. Very moody. I think he's the guy who did... what was that Western? It was like a Civil War book. I think Azzarello did it.
Loveless.
Man. Loveless, yes. And at times I just found the art completely unreadable. It was just so inked. So he's one of those guys I kind of take with a little bit of a grain of salt, and I wish he'd hold back a little bit on the inking. Sometimes he's just a little too dark. This looks good. This looks better. But sometimes, like, real heavy inking, and some of the facial details got lost, and you couldn't tell which character was which.
Okay.
And it wasn't a case of costumes and things. It was a Western. So when you weren't sure who was who.
What is he?
That's the guy in a cowboy hat.
Is he the inker, too?
Yeah, I think he's just the artist. Oh. I think the other, third name is the colorist, normally.
Okay.
So, let's see. Brandon Graham, well known for multiple Warheads and stuff. With Marianne Churchland art. Eight House Arc-like. Looks a little weird. Empty Zone, Jason Sean Alexander. Not familiar with him.
Weird cover.
Yeah.
Very weird cover.
This is the shirt I wear.
Oh, because she doesn't have an arm. She's like a robot person. Interesting. Okay. The Covenant, Rob Liefeld. Oh, yeah. He's writing and not drawing. Interesting.
He's doing the covers.
He's doing the covers.
Yeah, in ancient times, there was no weapon more devastating than the Ark of the Covenant, containing a power that collapsed enemy nations. Okay, so
he saw somebody the... watch Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dude, that would make a great comic.
Astronauts in Trouble from Larry Young and Charlie Adler. This that was a AIT Planet Lair book had Astronauts in Trouble, so it looks like, I'm assuming this is new, unless they're just reprinting it. Huh.
The Space Program, the Media, Terrorism, the comic just close enough to reality to be scary.
Non-player 2, yay. That came out 4 or 5 years ago. Non-player 1. I noticed on the invoice number 1 reprint is coming out next week. Supposedly the art was just amazing and everything, but then number 2 just like never showed up. So number 2 finally coming.
Well, if it takes several years.
If you've been
years.
Waiting, yeah. I think part of the problem is people might be like, oh, we might hold off on, wait for number 3 and then we'll come back.
It's the kind of book you pass down to your children.
Okay, so Sex Criminals 11 has a Brian Lee O, in quotes, Mally, XXX cover, not safe for work, not safe for home, not safe for anywhere, oh my god, variant cover. It's shipped in a solid poly bag, so it cannot be seen until opened. Ever want to see Scott Pilgrim's business? What about his... What about the Bing Bong? What if you could see his Fluber too? Who knows what Mal will draw? Okay. One print run only.
I read issue 1 of this book, and I don't know. Everyone was all gaga over, but I...
It had a lot of humor to it. It was enjoyable. I didn't stick with it, but...
Like, I mean, it was all right, but I didn't see what all the hype was over it.
That's a lot of trades. And then, okay.
Southern Bastards, new story arc.
Uh-huh.
That means I'll be able to get the trades.
The trades.
Summer of the Bastards begins.
Uh-oh.
What?
Who's reading Walking Dead?
I am.
Okay, just look at the cover of number 43.
I gotta get there.
Keep going.
How is Colin turning those pages so fast?
Well, because it's just next issue. You know, I'm...
Mm-mm-mm.
There you go. And one thing I noticed when I saw this cover for the Marvel previews, and I'm looking at Mr. Fantastic, I'm going, that is so familiar. But I couldn't... It took me a while to place the face of Reed Richards. See if you can tell who it is. Because my question was confirmed that it is. I was accurate. It's the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Somebody said that's who he uses. Alex Ross uses him as a model.
Hmm. So who if you ever want... Who is supposed to be down on the right? Because that looks like Christopher Lloyd.
Well, that's the ultimate side.
It looks like
side,
Christopher Lloyd mixed with Michael Shannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe a little bit of a... I can't even his name now. Green Goblin.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Has like Willem Dafoe.
He has the
look.
Crazy eyes, but that looks like Christopher Lloyd to me.
So let's see, a Hulk gelatin mold in a Marvel Minimates Ant-Man movie box set, but we're not going to let you see.
Renew your vows. The Parker family's getting back together.
Aww.
Action Lab. New Jamal Eigel book, Venture Number 1. Puppet Master Number 4. Did I mention come and get Puppet Master Number 1? There you go. Sean Gabrin and Michael DeSocco. Yeah, DeSocco. Let's see. Looks like somebody else has picked up the famous monster of... Oh, American Gothic Press is a new imprint from Famous Monsters. Okay, so there's a new monster book. Famous Monsters presents gun suits. Well, that doesn't seem to make sense. Where are the monsters?
They're fighting the monsters with the
gun
suits.
Ah, with the gun suits. There we go.
Okay, I love that shirt.
Cthulhu? Lieutenant That's a pretty good shirt.
Okay, so we got the Archie regular line. Or no, this is their... What are they calling this line? Darn it. Oh, the Dark Circle. Archie number 1 with, oh my goodness, a few covers.
Yeah, for one or two. And then there's regular Archie.
Holy cow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22... 22 different covers. So if there's one you like, please let me know, because I can't order deep on all of them.
What is the point of having 22 covers?
I don't know.
Marvel had, 100 for Star Wars?
Yeah, but a lot of those were...
store-specific. Yeah, I get that.
So I'm looking, I'm like, ooh, look, from Aspen, a new Fandom, or a new Fathom
After
book.
After paying the artist, how would they make any money on this book? You have the answers to my questions.
Because I can't. I don't. And Jon Snow. I don't know.
Know nothing, Jon Snow.
Black Mask has... They've earned my respect with their last... With two books that they're coming out with. So I'm giving them a real... I'm definitely going to try to read a lot more of their stuff than I have. It's been nothing against them. It's just been more books. But I read We Can Never Go Home, number 1, that came out today. They sent me a preview copy.
How was that?
An actual copy, which
was
nice, too.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a really neat book, neat idea, something I hadn't read before. Just two kids who just kind of got their powers, but things kind of go really bad at home and at school, and basically they can't go home again. So just neat. I got posters and stuff all over the place. But yeah, if you get a chance, number 1, I have more coming. I have the Phantom variant, which will hopefully be here tomorrow or Friday. So I have a lot more of those coming, because I just saw it. It's sold out. It's hot. No.
See, and that's why people
speculate. Oh, man, just hit that Tarot Black Witch cover. That's a nice cover. Yeah. Okay, we got from Boom. We got some more number 1s from Boom. The Fiction. 4 childhood friends discover a box of strange books that, when read aloud, can transport them to the beautiful imaginary worlds described within. Well, that's kind of cool. Strange Fruit. That's on the cover. J.G. Jones and Mark Wade. That should be good. Maze Runner, official graphic novel prelude to the movie. Not that I've seen the movies or read the books, but... Broken World, Frank Barbieri, Barbier and Christopher Peterson. With a meteor days away from causing an extinction-level event on Earth, time is running out for Elena Marlowe. Okay, that doesn't sound good. I mean, good for her.
Don't buy that
book. No, that doesn't sound good for her.
That's not what I meant.
Cursed Pirate Girl Annual, good. That's a really neat book if you've ever had a chance to look at it. The art is just meticulous. And neat, and it has one of those things I like. It has really rough page edges. You have to see it to understand
like
it, but it's
weathered.
No, like really jaggedy, almost like they're torn. It's a very distinct look and very neat, just really, really neat. Original. You see it and you go, okay, wow, this is something. Like there was another book called Wind of the Willows from, I think it was Archaea, that came with like a little clasp on the cover. So just a little thing that's like, oh, that's neat. You know, you can actually lock the book closed. So why, I don't know, but just something that makes it stand out. Freak Squeal by Florent Maddo. Chance, a demon girl, Wolf Shade, a werewolf, and Zhang Mao, who have no superpowers at all, are students at a superhero university. They have no respect from their peers or professors, but they may just be the only thing that stands between civilization and the strangest, spookiest monster you've seen in any comic. Dun, dun, dun. The art looks good, though.
Yeah.
Clarence, a Kaboom book. I'm assuming that's based on a cartoon.
Yes.
Not being a big cartoon watcher, I can't help you with a lot of these. Okay, that's it for Boom. Lady Death. Hey,
does
there's more Lady Death.
Does each issue of Munchkin have a card with it?
Yes.
Didn't know. That first issue was selling for ridiculous amounts.
Oh, is it?
On eBay.
I should check that.
It was.
It's probably dead.
I think people thought only the first issue was coming with a card.
Gotcha. Well, only the first print comes with a card. Mm. So. Comic Mix, John Sable Freelance Omnibus Volume 1. I think I need that. So. Sorry. That's one of my.
So you're going to buy Colin a gift.
There you go. Buy him that. No, it's just nice to be able to order it and have it back in. Okay. Justice Inc. The Avenger. I think they've done some Justice stuff, just more. Or from Dynamite. More of their licensed. Or not licensed. Public domain stuff. Let's see, Shadow 100, I Don't Believe You. Whoa, Swords of Sorcery, Swords of Sorrow, that Gail Simone thing with all the tie-ins. It's Deja Thoris and Irene Adler. That's interesting. Irene Adler from Sherlock Holmes. I saw that name, that threw me a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're taking like all these heroines from all their different properties.
And putting into one book.
Smash
and letting, and it's all women writers, too.
Yeah.
And Joker will not be on any of the covers of those books.
And it doesn't have a name like A-Force.
Right.
Well, they're A-Force.
Because we force your A.
They're being smashed together like pizza's there.
Okay. What else we got here? Oh, wow. Double Take. Home Lighter Than Air number 1. Writer Bill Gemmis. Haven't heard that name in a long time. And then he said, Rise, Sisters Keeper, number 1. Bill Gemmis. Interesting. If there's anything wrong with that, just he was a very interesting guy. Nice cover to Pussycats, too, there.
What? Nothing wrong with that.
Let me see. I skipped back Drawn and Quarterly. I had a good time with the lady from Drawn and Quarterly.
Oh, did you?
No, not like that. We were up in the Valiant suite, and she was with the guy from Archie.
He's not making this story anymore.
No. She was. No,
we were in the suite.
No.
She was with the guy from Archie.
What had happened was...
but she had had a little too much to drink, and it was just... I know, it's getting better. Wait. No.
This is not bringing our A-game, by the way.
No, but she was just really fun to... Just making... Not making fun of, but just teasing and stuff. And then the next day, I was continuing to tease her. And then on Twitter, I mentioned last month that because the Drawn and Quarterly and Fantagraphics came to the Comics Pro meeting, I said I was going to up my orders for them. You know, just to thank them for coming to the meeting. I think it was important. And then she responded back, and then we kind of went back and forth. But the big thing with them is she had this book that was the history of Drawn and Quarterly. And apparently Fantagraphics was started by, like, this crazy, you know, guy who, I want to do these crazy comics and all this stuff, where Drawn and Quarterly was, as she said, was by a nice, quiet Canadian man who wanted to put out nice comics. So it wasn't nearly as exciting as their other Canadian company. And so I said, it's the untold story of Drawn and Quarterly, where, you know, about beer drinking and moose dating and not saying you're sorry. So that's all. I had a good time. I had fun with her on Twitter. That was all.
So was it a boot?
It was a boot, yes. So I think the big thing from the Fantagraphics one is Blubber number one, a new issue, and from Gilbert Hernandez. Who has a following? What do we got? So, new Overstreet price guide. If there's a certain cover you want, let me know. I do try to get them all in, but sometimes one of them sells out. So, yeah, if there's one you really want, I'm happy to order them for you. Hey, more Joe books. Disney stuff. So we got an Inside Out books from Joe Books. From that the new movie about emotions or whatever it was. Let's see.
Oh, the Sinistory
comics
too?
Yeah. There's this ad for the League of Regrettable Superheroes from Quirk Books. It's a very 1940s style cover.
It's like Ace and Gary.
Yeah. Not sure what that is. Okay, Oni Press. Let's see. Got anything new from them? Not really. I don't know how many of you tried the Hellbreak. You might want to give that a shot. I still have lots. It was only a dollar.
Sometime. That was good.
Yeah, it was. You know, I don't want to say good for a dollar, but I think it was, you know, you didn't, I don't think you lost anything by... Oh, dear.
See, why are you throwing flying stuff? Off the
yep,
shelf.
They are.
That was a mass suicide.
Yeah, it was. Okay. And then we got Evil Dead 2, number one from Space Goat Productions.
Evil Dead 2, number one.
I thought they were about to say Space Ghost.
Space Goat. Totally different. Titan Comics has a new Minions book coming out. I think that one will do good with the kids and not just the kids. Yep, Minions, there we go. New Tank Girl from Titan Comics as well. You know, she has her following. I never quite got it.
Wasn't there a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lori Petty, who's one of the baseball players. Bloodshot Reborn. Oh, nobody likes Valiant.
Valiant? What's that company?
Are they putting out any books? Jeez.
Oh, awesome books. After the Valiant number 4 today. Very much excited for Bloodshot Reborn. A lot of 25th anniversary Valiant books. Exo Manowar one shot. Dead Drop.
I can't tell what that is. Because the cover, number one, it looked like Exo Man of War.
I must not have read it or saw it in the last preview book. But it's a new miniseries by Alish Cott.
Let's see, what else we got here? Got all the Japanese stuff. Apparently it's Manga Month. Manga Month, sorry. And then we get Xenoscope. Yeah, so yeah, this is intriguing to me, this League of Regrettable Superheroes, half-baked heroes from comic book history. That's the kind of stuff I enjoy. Okay, not bad. I hate so many of these books back in this section. I'll be like, oh, that looks interesting, and then it's $40. Or it's like a university press critical study of something. It's like, oh, that could be neat, $40. It's like, I'm not taking a chance on a $40 book that's going to sit on my shelf. This looks fun. $25, 256 pages, so that's, you know, a good normal book. So, we'll have that. That looks fun. I like the weird stuff. Yeah, here, How to Be a Superhero, you know, $33. Okay. Pass.
You wouldn't pay $33 to learn how to be a superhero.
Well, true. Now, calendars are in this month. So if you want calendars, let me know.
Which is good, because it's...
I don't...
Yeah, you know, June.
Well, no, this is... Well, June, but normally they... Because they're all, you know, 15, 14 months or whatever.
I'm still waiting for a Marvel calendar.
Yeah, well, I didn't get one because I couldn't order... Well, no. Now, remember, that wasn't my fault. I ordered enough.
It's not my fault.
Okay, so let's see. Who do we got? We got Chess pieces, DC, we got Owlman and Captain Boomerang. Marvel, we have Mystique and Nightcrawler. A special fact file of Ultron. Star Trek ships, we got Voyager and ECS Fortunate.
Armored Voyager.
Armored Voyager.
Voyager already came out.
Batmobiles, we got Batman Noel and Batman Robin Bike. Okay. Fun because I have not yet looked at the toys, so those are always the fun ones where you go, what the Avengers Silver Age trading cards? Yeah, I'm probably gonna get a box of those. DC Supervillains trading cards? Yeah, probably gonna get a box of those too. Man, they gotta stop putting Daredevil t-shirts in this stupid book.
Why?
Because I get yelled at when I bring home t-shirts.
Statues are okay, but t-shirts you get yelled at for?
Well, I don't bring home that many statues.
Are you going to get the Superman Superfly shirt?
Man, I just saw that. Yeah. No, but I wonder how they're doing Superman, Aquaman.
And Action.
And your Action.
Yeah.
Nice. Well played. Oh, that's very nice. Hang in there with a dying clown. Nice. Oh, another Daredevil shirt. Hate me. You hate me.
And a Baymax shirt.
I don't need a Baymax shirt. I can't say no to a Daredevil shirt, though. I don't get the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, but man, people sure do love that. Ooh, Batgirl. Oh, $200.
What, the Batgirl statue?
Yeah. Nice, but I don't know. That's a little much.
200?
Yeah.
How big is it?
12 inches 12 tall. In. But it's 66. Not that that's a problem, just
still.
Yeah. Okay, what do we else got new? Oh, lots of Ant-Man stuff. Shocking.
Why would they be releasing Ant-Man stuff?
And Avengers stuff?
I'll tell you, I was saying this to Josh here. I love the Ant-Man Mr. Potato Head.
Lots of Firefly stuff. Man, they went nuts. Two-page spread on Firefly. Christopher Reeve action figure, but 110. Got some.
Okay, a Superman Christopher Reeve action. You said it's a Christopher Reeve action figure. I was
well,
thinking
right?
Like,
okay,
you know,
okay,
did
fair enough.
Did these go up in price?
Yes, yes, they have. We got some a lot more of the Megos or Migos. Some new ones. That's kind of cool. But it's weird, like, why do we, there's, it's like we have multiple versions of the same thing. This is getting confusing. Reaction Breaking Bad figures, very nice. Might be tempted to get some of those. Twist my arm. Ooh, Dave, Betty Page action doll. Oh, that just doesn't sound good. Let's see.
That's a weird look on her face, too. That's not a sexy look. It's more like, it's killed your cat,
yeah.
But in a freedom look.
Nice. Are you familiar with that look?
Yeah.
I've been throwing that look once or twice.
Yeah. Ooh, Fantasy Figure Gallery, DC Comics, Harley Quinn statue. Nice. $260. Ouch. Gentle Giant Zombie Kingpin Mini Bust. Seriously?
Did you see the other potato head?
Yeah, I did. I like that Skeletor bust. That's $225.
You should get it.
Yeah, get two.
No, get one. Okay. He's also getting the helmet, too.
Yeah, the Dr. Fate. The gold
one.
Oh,
that's right, the gold one. Yeah. Solid, the 24 karat.
Okay. Well, you know, what if I'm going to spend the money, what's another $300?
Yeah, I do not get these Sofubi things. $90 kind of lumpy action figures. 9 inches tall. That's a lot of money. Hey, it's Gundams.
Gundams?
Sorry. That was wrong. That was wrong.
Yeah, you have to crack yourself up at least once every podcast.
That's true.
That's true, yeah.
Somebody helped, okay?
Pat with the assist.
Pat with the assist. Samurai General Darth Vader action series. Action figure. Okay.
Well,
Okay, now I'm back to the collectibles, where I actually do get some a good bit of stuff. Lots of Game of Thrones stuff. I don't think I can watch anymore since they announced that next season of Game of Thrones is going to spoil the novels that haven't come out yet. It's like, well,
it's going to start to...
Right,
yeah, but the problem
but I don't
is if you wait for the
novels...
Yeah, but if you
wait
for
the... but I prefer the... I prefer the books. Now, I would recommend people... I might have to get some of these Star Lab mouse pads. Not a big mouse pad kind of store, but I think that's kind of... That would be kind of cool to have on your desk.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, but...
Sixteen candles? Pops?
Sure.
You are a big 16 candle store.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. Let's see, and that's it. Okay, well, that wasn't too bad.
No.
Okay. Books. Wants to start. Pat, you ready?
Yeah, I guess I'll start. Future's End.
Eh.
I read it.
The ending was quite telegraphed by the cover, I thought.
Well, yeah.
I mean, assuming you were somehow able to avoid the spoilers on the internet, the cover kind of gave away the ending. Which
yeah.
I'm always disappointed when that happens. And, you know, more of Brother Eye kind of taking over. The one thing I did like, and there was the stuff with 50 Sue and, what was it, Lana?
Yeah, where, you finally got to see what was going on with Lana, and 50 Sue, like, embracing her as her mom now.
Yeah, coolest mom ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, two issues left of that. Batman Eternal.
Read that?
Yep. I'm all caught up. I'm ahead of you. Well, I'm
ahead
of
me. No, I read it today, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Let's spoil it right now.
It was a joke.
It was Dave.
It was Dave. So Gotham is set ablaze, and the Clue Master takes responsibility for it all. And it's funny. Yeah, because it's like, okay, reading it, you know it can't be him. Like, he's not a supervillain. He's a joke villain.
But no one was expecting that reveal.
It was more of the shock of, no, that can't be it. And then, you know, you're looking, and it's like, okay, this has got three issues left.
But
this
if you read today's issue, not to spoil anything, but, like, him going through the plan.
Yeah.
Like, it's valid. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
What he's saying.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. Green Lantern New Guardians was the last issue of that.
I didn't think you were reading that still.
Well, I started reading it in God's Head, and since there was three issues left, and I had read 90% of it anyway, I was like,
right. You said the opposite. I was reading it before Godhead, and then after Godhead, I was like, eh, it was up and down beforehand. So I'm just gonna stop.
And it was. It really was up and down beforehand.
How were those last three issues, this last arc?
So it was dealing with Kyle and Oblivion. So in this, he defeats Oblivion, but the way he's able to do it is he splits the life equation and creates the White Lantern Corps. So now there's seven people that have rings. And by doing that, Oblivion is the opposite of Kyle. So if Kyle holds all the life power, it's essentially he holds all the death power, which I always thought that was Black Hand's deal.
Yeah. But,
so Oblivion, like I said, he was defeated by them splitting it, and then as that happened, he was weakened. They were able to attack. I was a little disappointed in the fact that in the end, St. Walker was there and Carol was there, but those were the only two representatives from other corps that were there. There was no, Orange Lanterns or Reds or anything like that to essentially fight. It was, It was White Lantern.
Is St. Walker suited back up now?
Yes. Yeah, he is. He got his ring back when he saw that Kyle was alive. And I thought that that happened in Godhead.
I remember him saying like he had hope return, but I don't think he actually put the ring on.
He did get the ring back on, and he was in the...
Oh, maybe he did, because didn't he give Hal Jordan the power boost to help this, keep the city from crashing down?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, yeah. That's...
Yeah. Red One, the first issue.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
I did, too. That was a little different. So
I was a little confused in the very beginning because I was thinking that was her and it wasn't making sense because there was an actress and it was like a 70s actress and it was set in the 70s. But going in, it got a little confusing.
Yeah, so it's there's a Russian spy and here in America, they're having a guy murdering people, essentially... that they feel are demoralizing the U.S. And, yeah, just like Colin. Colin not being the murderer, but the one that's demoralizing the U.S. So they're sending this Russian spy to do something, and we're not exactly sure what her mission is yet. But she had to become a director's assistant. What I got from it is he's directing porn.
Oh, okay.
That was...
Okay.
You know, kind of the way I was reading it. It was a very wordy book, especially in the beginning.
Typically, porn is not that wordy.
Right, exactly. Not the good...
and that's how we get off topic.
Yep, exactly. No, but there was a... Instead of letting the art tell the story, I think there was a lot more of exposition and dialogue that didn't necessarily have to be there. But it was well drawn, and I liked it. Chrononauts.
Man, that book was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Boy, that artist, you know, show something.
You normally hate Sean Gordon Murphy, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't want that hanging in my living room.
No.
This didn't do anything to change your mind.
No. No. I'm just wondering. I'm looking at it going, oh, I wonder how much that page is. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Which now I need to go look. Thanks.
It was an interesting take on the whole time travel book. There was like three good time travel books out, at least on my pull list last week. So that was, it was good. It didn't feel like too much of the same thing.
I thought that It was a different concept, and definitely him getting tripped up the way he did. It was almost like he was flying through space and got hit by a rogue asteroid or something like that. And that was I don't exactly understand how that would happen,
concept. Yeah, that's the only issue I had is that, I mean, they did the launch with the satellite first, and everything was fine. I mean, they didn't even discuss, like, how there could possibly be, like, you know, turbulence or whatever. So maybe they weren't expecting it. I don't know.
The whole idea of the satellite and broadcasting back, you know, the Civil War for television or something, just seemed awesome idea.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, like, that one panel, the kid was looking directly at the satellite. He saw something in the sky. But
would he even comprehend what it was?
Yeah.
I'm assuming one of the other ones you had was Black Science.
That was not last week.
Oh, okay. No,
for me it was Chrononauts, it was 8, and it was Ivar Time Walker.
Okay. You know, the typical trope in something like that is they start time traveling, something happens to the mechanism with which they travel, and that's how they get stranded, as opposed to something like this. It was just a different take. Batgirl Endgame.
Yeah,
I read that.
It
wasn't much to read. But.
No. Well, no, the no dialogue thing kind of threw me. But it wasn't bad.
No, they did a good job with the no dialogue. The only problem I had with it is, whereas you had Batman and Robin 18, that was also a silent issue, that book had a reason to be a silent issue. Like, he was, you know, mourning the death of his son. He was very, like, filled with anger. Like, it made sense. This book, there wasn't a reason to be silent. It just felt like it was silent for the sake of being silent.
Yeah, so in the middle of a riot is... You can talk in that. It'd have been different if it was they're trying to sneak the girl out without anybody knowing anybody was there. But, you know, with what's going on in Endgame, that's not going to happen anyway. Yeah. So, you know, maybe shouting and telling them to go is the way to deal with it.
I did like how they tied it back to Batgirl Future's End with the little girl. You realize that was...
I didn't realize that.
That was Lucius Fox's daughter, I believe. His daughter.
I knew it was Fox.
Who in Batgirl Endgame, or not Endgame, Batgirl Future's End, was one of the Batgirls, one of the three Batgirls in the future.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's her, the Fox girl, Stephanie Brown. And is it Cassandra? The third one?
I just remember that Batgirl's Bane. Batgirl.
Something. But it was a good like callback to that. But yeah, it was a good issue. I just reading it the whole time like, why is it silent? Like, it's fine. They're doing a good job with it being silent, but why is it silent? Like Batman and Robin 18, it made sense. This one is like you just said, we want to do a silent issue.
Yeah. Well, you want to pay a writer, so. Amazing Spider-Man 16.1,
which you bought after his recommendation.
I did.
Back to the well and got it.
I did.
And now he's going to talk about how disappointed he was.
No, actually, I like that a lot better than I like Amazing Spider-Man 16 from the week before. That felt like a regular Spider-Man story, and it actually did some stuff. The one thing, Tombstone was the bad guy in this, and the whole time I'm thinking... That's not Tombstone. I get to the end and I'm like, oh, I'm thinking of Hammerhead. No, I'm like, that's not right. So then, you know, went back like, oh, okay, that makes a little more sense now. I still don't like the fact that they're essentially running two concurrent storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a cop out. And it may just be they're trying to burn the storyline because of what's going to happen with Secret Wars. But at least based on the first issue of the both of them, I would have went with Spiral and left the other one.
Yeah.
But and Secret Identities, which I don't know why I didn't put any notes down on that, but I read that.
I liked it. I thought it was very good and even added a little more intrigue.
Yeah.
With the aliens and that alien ship that they're living, that's their headquarters. Very interesting. No, the main guy was very little part of it, other than it showed him looking for something that he shouldn't have been. I thought that's been very good.
The training thing where it was, and I forget the guy's name, one of them, the knight, who I forget what his name, and then the lava guy.
Yeah.
That we're fighting. And
yeah, sorry, I don't know names.
Yeah, it's still a new book.
Yeah.
you know, they were sparring, and essentially you can't spar, because then when you get to the real thing, you know, you'll hold back. Military training and then other things that kind of always a mentality is you don't hold back, you don't pull your punches. And it was just different to see that kind of in writing where, you know, someone took real life example and put it in there. So it just rang like, oh, wow, someone actually thought this through.
I like the art, that two-page spread of the fight over the Niagara Falls is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Page away.
A little confusing.
Yeah, it was confusing, and then I looked at it first. It was really confusing, and then I figured it out that the exclamation marks were like highlighting the different fights over the page, and then I can understand it better. But I thought that's kind of cool.
And the fake Flash guy, where he had to run because his daughter had, and it was either ballet or a drum.
Well, because remember he's got two girls, or two kids.
Yeah, that was a different take on that too. The one character in there that gets me though is it's the president's daughter.
Yeah.
Being a superhero, just because it's like that's, you know, you would think that would not work. I get because comics, but it's like, okay, there's no secret identity there. Everyone knows who you are and knows where to find you, and more importantly, knows where to find your family. Yeah. And, okay, Secret Service or not, they still know where your family is. I'm enjoying that, too. And that's all I got.
Me?
Yeah.
All right, let me get my list here.
Not prepared.
It's right there, Pat.
Okay.
Took a second. All right, Divinity number 2, which is a miniseries from Valiant. So the first issue, and Colin, you read the first issue, didn't you?
Divinity? Not of Divinity, no. I read the first one of Imperium.
So the first issue, we see Russia, I think it's around World War II or maybe a little bit after that. It's definitely like Cold War Russia. And they're working on a space where we're trying to beat the U.S. So I guess, yeah, it was in the 60s. Trying to beat the U.S., whereas the U.S. is focusing on the moon, Russia is focusing on the furthest, edges of the solar system and beyond that. So they're trying to find an astronaut to send off in this, long-term 30-year mission. And in the first issue, it kind of bounces around a lot. You see the cosmonaut they send off come back to Earth, and he has definitely changed and has superpowers. And this issue, it still bounces around between time frames, but it's not quite as confusing. You find out that he has come back with essentially godlike powers, and not godlike in the sense of, Superman, but truly godlike where he is, a creator. Like he can, create planets. So above Australia, he created a small, like mini planet that's hovering above this, barren area of Australia that's very lush. And he is, able to sense or see what people's desires are, and is, he's giving them what they want.
Okay.
With one guy, he suddenly has his one soldier has the guy's family show up. And they're walking around this tiny planet. It was weird, but it was really good. And you see that they're not clear on what his motivations are. Like, he's been very peaceful to this point. He interacts with someone who was one of the original scientists in the program, because I guess once he was sent off on his mission, they kind of forgot about him, or they got shut down. And he is, as he's traveling, has gotten these, ghosted broadcasts from Earth, but long after the fact of when they actually happened. So he's still kept up on what's going on. You still don't understand how he got the powers and how he got back to Earth. But he interacts with this scientist who was part of the original program and suddenly gives him his youth back and sends him to the UN to almost be his representative. And at the same time, it flashes to the Unity team, which is, Valiant's version of the Justice League or the Avengers. And they're sent on a mission to confront Abram, who is the main guy in Divinity, and saying that they either have to, capture him or kill him. Either way, whether it's peaceful or not, he can't have this power. It's not safe for him to have this power. And you see how quickly he just, decimates this team. Like, he's so far
being God and all, but you can't be God.
Yeah, he's being played up as this extremely powerful being. You even start to see parallels before they confront him with him and Exo Manowar, who at one point in time was at odds with the Unity team. But I'm really interested to see where it goes with the last two issues and if he's going to be an ongoing part of the Valiant universe. The only thing I hope they don't do is make this essentially a Unity book. I liked it better when it didn't have those other characters in it, the Unity team, because otherwise it feels just like an arc of Unity that isn't part of the main Unity book. But if they don't focus on that, they continue to focus on this Abrams guy and his story. Then I think it's going to continue to be a very, you know, unique book for Valiant. But it's been good. It's Matt Kent and Trevor Harrison that are doing it. The art's been great. The writing's been great. So I have our Time Walker 3. So this book picks up right where the second one left off. They're still at a compound in Nazi Germany because he was taking his companion Neela, the scientist that he rescued in the first, well, rescued from what he says.
She's the one that develops time travel. Yeah.
And he says people are coming after her. So they were going through time as he was showing her that, you know, time essentially won't let you do things that will alter it drastically. It'll always find a way to stop you. And through the course of that, their device to travel through time got stolen, and they're trying to get it back. And right now they're trapped in this Nazi Germany trying to, you know, find this other time traveler that stole the device. Because they play it up to where there's, at any given time, tons of time travelers around, but they're wearing this technology to make them, like, fit in with the current population. Yeah. So she, well, Ivor gets captured by the Nazis, and Neela is off on her own, and these Prometheans, who were the original threat that came after her, chase her, and she finally gets confronted by them and is able to talk to them. And where she thinks they're trying to get her, they try to explain to her that really it's Ivar that she should be getting away from. He's going to cause this mass death, and that they're there to rescue her and take her back. And in the first issue, at the very end, you saw a future version of her where she's like half cyborg, mm-hmm. half human. And she doesn't quite believe them, and she ends up trapping them in this location where they, you know, start to melt instantly because of oxygen levels and the fire igniting, so they're all metallic. So she gets back to the Nazi Germany. She's using an arm from one of this robotic time traveler that has the time travel capabilities built into it. She's using that to travel back and forth. So she finds Ivar being tortured, and she ends up killing the guys that are torturing them. She just snapped, but then after she snaps and she talks to him more and encounters his brother, the Eternal Warrior, more, she starts to put things together and not trust him, and it ends with her, you know, leaving him behind and taking off on her own with both time travel devices. So it's not playing it as, you know, her just being this, you know, companion that's going along with whatever he says. Like, there's definitely a conflict between the two, and I don't know if it's going to resolve with her. I mean, honestly, I don't know where it's going to go at all right now. I don't know if he really is a bad guy in a sense, or if, you know, there's more to the future version of her. Judge Dredd, 28. So this book, I don't think I've talked about a whole lot mm-hmm. on the podcast.
No.
But it's been, the 28 issues now, it's been a really solid book, and each arc has been distinct, but it's also organically floating the next arc, so it's been one big story. I mean, you could read each arc on its own, and
but
makes
not
sense.
Like a Hickman story.
Yeah, like it's all connected, and it all, like, there's this, you know, through line through the whole book so far, but each thing can stand on its own as well. But the current arc, this Mega City Manhunt, which this is the last issue in this arc, Judge Dredd has essentially been a wanted criminal. And the current Chief Justice is actually kind of the bad guy in things. And it's sort of with the Dark Judges arc that was there previously. But you see in this arc, he's finally kind of captured by the corrupt judges. And the whole time, Judge Anderson has been in his head because she was killed during the Dark Judges arc. But her consciousness was somehow, you know, transferred into Judge Dredd's body. So during this issue, you see a lot of, like, internal, you know, within his mind, her trying to, you know, battle what he's thinking about and trying to get him revived at the same time, because they're killing him in the real world, and you're seeing callbacks to all these previous arcs. And then it kind of resolves in the end with Anderson managing to escape into someone else's consciousness, which then leads to, you know, Dredd not being a wanted criminal anymore. So it's been really good. It's a pretty interesting book, and I like how they've made the change. So I was wondering what they're going to do with Anderson being in his head. So now they're definitely changing the dynamic for the next arc. So it's been pretty solid. And then the last one, want to mention Superman 39.
Yes.
And you guys read that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was really good. With Superman 38, when you saw Superman use his new power, they told you that it's essentially a amplified version of his heat vision, whereas his heat vision takes all the stored energy in the cells, like in his eyes, and releases it. His what's the new power called? Is it
solar flare?
Solar flare. Yeah, he's taking all the stored up energy in all the cells in his body and releasing it to this, you know, 100 yard radius around him and destroying everything within that radius. But it leaves him completely depowered for what Batman says is 24 hours. The only thing that didn't make sense is if he's depowered, then how did he change his costume
so quickly down to 38? Mm-hmm.
But
that's just
fine.
A trope.
That's
yeah.
fine. So at the end of 38, you have him revealing his secret identity to Jimmy Olsen. And Olsen's, you know, shocked. And this picks up right where that left off, where Olsen's asking him questions and saying, oh, so you can fly, you can do this. And you have Superman saying, well, I can't right now. So then Jimmy's like,
normally.
You got me. Even I'll give you this. You're a dead ringer for Superman without your glasses on. I can't really remember picked up on it before, but, you know, way to go, Clark. So he's not believing that he's really Superman, so he has to, you know, kind of prove it to him.
Why didn't you tell him to shoot him?
He has no powers.
He didn't have powers, so.
He would die. He could be cut right now. For 24 hours after using this super, or the solar flare power, he's completely, like, essentially human.
Okay.
It works. In the context of the story, it actually makes sense the way they're writing it. So you have Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen just, you know, going out, like, as friends, having a conversation about what's going on, about what's going on with Superman currently, and also about, you know, the two dual identities. And at one point you see them, you know, having lunch, like a hot dog stand, and there's this kid that's climbing in a tree, and the kid's about to fall. So Clark, being Clark, tries to save the kid and dives to the ground, catches the kid, and busts up his elbow in the process, and he's bleeding. And then when he's at the Daily Planet in a meeting, he gets a paper cut, so he's bleeding there. But it sounds kind of cheesy, but actually it worked. It did a good job of showing that Superman isn't Superman because of his powers, but because of, you know, who he is.
That's what I liked about it. That was,
yeah.
I love when Geoff Johns, you know, gets into the character of Superman, because in the course of the day, he, you know, there's a hostage situation, and he steps in front of the guy.
Yeah, even though he knows he could be killed, he still changes in his costume.
He tells Jimmy, you think the reason I step in front of guns is because I'm bulletproof? That was fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that.
And I also loved when after the hostage situation, when he's trying to hide and find a way to get away, but he can't just fly away, and he says, there's people everywhere. I don't know how Bruce or how Batman does this all the time.
yeah, that was great.
But it was really good. It you always hear people knock on Superman saying that he's kind of lame because he can just do anything, but it really shows that it's not about the power to that character. It's really about who the character is.
Yeah, that's
or who he is personally.
I just love when you get into that aspect of the character, which Geoff Johns does so well.
And I also love the end whenever they're sitting on top of the Daily Planet eating.
Yeah,
and Jimmy's talking to him about, like, you know, the things he likes best about being Superman, the things he liked best about being human for a day.
Yeah.
And he's saying, oh, well, like right now what we're eating, I can taste every single ingredient in this, whereas the hot dogs earlier, I could just taste the, you know, flavor you're tasting, not taste every single thing that's in it. And sometimes that's better than actually tasting every single thing that's in
He said something else at the beginning of the issue about, was it about wind or, I can't.
Oh yeah, he doesn't get cold. He has to look at the molecules in the air to see how dense
the temperature
they are.
Yeah, to know how to dress.
To know how to dress. That was great.
Yeah,
that was really great.
Yeah, because he didn't feel that same cold that everyone else did.
Yeah,
it was good. I love these stories that try and show, like, the thought process that Clark has and what why he can't just, you know, go out and do anything.
Yeah,
that he has a different kind of struggle than.
Yeah, you never crossed my mind that he wouldn't know how to dress because he doesn't feel the temperature outside.
Well, that I don't get. I mean, feeling wind or temperature is not a pain response.
He can feel the temperature, but it doesn't feel like
he doesn't know what cold
is. Cold,
you know,
to him, to us. Like, what might feel really cold to us might feel just like slightly chilly to him. Or yeah. It might be scalding hot to us. It might just be a little bit warm to him.
Yeah, I get that piece, but it's like, no, you would still be able to feel temperature, you know, to know, okay, it's warm.
It's just not as extreme, though. I think it's more, you know, mild. But it was good. It was a really good issue. The next issue, 40, is being written by John Romita Jr.
So was this the last Johns?
This is the last.
Or is he coming back?
No, this is the last Jeff Johns issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than Justice League, what's Johns writing?
Well, he's doing the big Justice League thing, I think. And then he's doing TV. So.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be doing the Dark Side.
Yeah, the Dark Side War.
Romita Jr. staying on it.
Yeah.
After the Convergence stuff. You're up, Dave.
Okay, Hulk. Hulk number 13.
Don't guy just flop things down?
No, that was the whole thing.
He gets all whiny about it.
No.
He never wants to go first, but then he complains when we take his books.
I know. Go ahead, Dave.
In Hulk number 13, let's see, at the beginning, Doc Green, first he has a meeting at a cafe with Steve Rogers, the powered Steve Rogers, and Rogers knows what Doc Green's about to do, trying to cure all the Gamma.
The Gamma Corps?
The Gamma Corps and everybody else, and he tells him to stay away from Jennifer Walters. And so he just leaves it at that. And at the end of the last issue, he hired Deadpool to go after General Ross. And then you find out Deadpool's also in contact with Steve Rogers, who has him keeping an eye on Doc Green. And he's like, you don't have... I'm not worried about what he does to Red Hulk, because he can take care of that. That's all fine by me. So in the course of the story, he meets up with the leader, who's now the Red Leader. I don't know how he got to be the Red Leader.
That was back in Thunderbolts.
Okay.
Actually, that might have been before. I know in Thunderbolts, he was the Red
Leader.
Yeah,
because everybody was Red in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Missed out on that. So they have a little tussle, and he cures the Red Leader. And after that, the AI, the Doc Green artificial intelligence, I think he calls it the Omega Project, gets into the leader's brain, and he becomes the leader again.
Turns green again.
Turns green again, yes. And so, of course, it's all leading up to the big confrontation with the Red Hulk. And that's the last page is them starting their tussle out in the desert. And I think this is the penultimate issue of Hulk.
Is it?
I think so.
Or is it just ending for Secret Wars, or is it ending?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
How are the sales?
How does anybody know?
You'll see.
We'll find out.
Not great. Not what it once was. Hulk used to be a real top book.
Yeah,
especially
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, it just... Marvel just runs everything. All the events and everything just really run... It loses steam.
Seven issues were tied into Age of Ultron Aftermath.
Yeah, as soon as something it ties in, people jump off and they don't jump back on. But they seem definitely like, you know, to tie stuff in because they think it gets a bump. Like, we'll see how Spider-Woman does. Because the first four issues tied into Spider-Verse, then number four, five was the big costume change. Let's see how number six does. And five wasn't any great shakes. You know, I ordered the same as four, and I still have some on the shelf.
I think it was reviewed better than the previous ones, though.
But I think a lot of people only were getting it because it was tied in.
I mean, I get their rationale in launching it during Spider-Verse, it's them not having confidence in the book. Them thinking that the book's not going to do as well on its own. Maybe we'll launch it during this and people will buy it because it's a tie-in. But then you're not letting the book stand on its own and you're not giving people a true idea what the book's going to be.
Yeah. Star Trek Planet of the Apes, number four.
Also This is also a penultimate issue, isn't it?
It is the penultimate issue. It should have been the ultimate. It should have been the ultimate issue because I don't know. This issue, it was mostly filler.
Yeah,
I thought because nothing really happened. It's just Taylor and the crew are on the Enterprise trying to figure out what to do next, and the gorillas are still making their march onto the city. kind of being manipulated by the Klingons, and a lot of Zira talking about ape on ape violence and how that's that's the number one rule of the world. There shall be no ape on ape violence.
No ape on ape action. I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
A different book.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Calling After Dark.
Yeah. Calling After Dark's into some freaky stuff.
Just when you said no ape on ape, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Man. So that.
There goes our viewer. Listener, sorry.
Adam, just turn it off.
So, like I said, not much happened in this issue. This could have been a 4-issue series instead of 5, but we'll see what happens in the get the next one. And last one's Princess Leia, number 2.
Did
that book have
number
2?
Anybody read that?
No. Same art.
I saw a snippet of it, and the art looked very like cartoony almost, or like crayon drawing.
That's more the coloring and the finishing. Which is weird. It's this one almost like Red One was the same art team and was very finished, very nice. Where this one, it almost looks like they just
they did the pencils and then okay, color you finish it. You know, it wasn't ink, it wasn't crisp. A lot of the facial features were kind of off, eyes were off, like different heights on a face and things. Mm-hmm. So it just weird where Red One was much more finished, polished. But yeah. I didn't read it, so I just flipped through it.
It was an all right issue. I thought it was a little bit better than the first one. Leia and R2 and Evan, or EVAAN, however you pronounce it, they're off to Naboo. They're in search of...
Jar Jar?
Yes.
Jar Jar. I think there was some Gungans in it. And, to find Alderaan people of Alderaan who survive, who don't know about the planet blowing up.
You would think there's like an intergalactic news somewhere.
Yeah,
and Alderaan just disappeared today.
In that civilization, like, you shouldn't have go more than 5 minutes without knowing.
Yeah. We have the internet. They got space travel. They should have the internet at least.
Yeah, like we can focus on networking or interstellar engines.
Yeah, warp engines. Which one do you want?
We're going with the engines.
Maybe the news channels were dismantled along with the Senate.
Well, that's true.
Jar Jar was like, let's vote on the news stations.
That's true. I don't think that the Empire would be very media friendly.
Darth's news.
Party time. Excellent.
Absolutely nothing happened today.
But there's some flashbacks back to Leia when Leia was a child on Alderaan. So we get to see Jimmy Smits again. So it's
nice.
So were the flashbacks in a different art style? Maybe that's what I saw.
It was the same. I think it was the same style. Yeah. So I thought it was moderately better in the first issue. And that's all I have. Everything else was mentioned.
Colin.
That's all you got. Okay.
That's it.
Postal number 2. I'm reading this and I'm going, this is really, really interesting. It's from Image. And it's not well written. And it's not well drawn, but I like the book. I like the idea of the book.
There's a winning review.
I like the idea of murder. It's not done well, but murder in general.
It's basically, there's this town where all these criminals kind of move to keep themselves like secret. At first I thought maybe
like witness protection.
That's what I thought it was originally. There was a town of witness protection. Crime is not allowed, and it's dealt with basically you are taken out and killed. They want to draw no attention to themselves from the authorities or anything. They just want to live. Everybody live good, but it's people who have a bad past. The reason it's called Postal is the lady who's the mayor. Her son is autistic. Or Asperger's, one or the other, something like one of those conditions. Not trying to be offensive, I just don't remember which one it was. But he's the postman, And basically, you know, mom just said, here's your job, you deliver the mail. And from my understanding, there's a lot more in the solicit than actually made it into the book to explain that. Like, that was never explained in the book.
Okay.
It's just everything is told through his view. Like, he, you know, and you get it, he goes to the same restaurant at the same time and all this stuff. And this was good. It turns out that in this one, the waitress in the restaurant is actually an FBI informant. And she likes playing goody-two-shoes at the restaurant because she's not. And she's buttering up this kid to try to get more information because mom's the mayor. And it gives some more information. And it's like there's really good ideas. It's just not well presented. Like I remember this because I listened to another podcast and they reviewed it. And they said, well, I read it. And then they would, in doing their reviews, they would read the initial solicit. And I'm listening to that. I'm like, oh, well, that explains why this, and this happened. But the issue itself didn't explain that. Yeah. And it still hasn't, through issue two, hasn't explained all that. And there was a scene, I remember, where she's talking about this tree. And she goes, okay, you know that tree with the broken limb? And I'm looking at the tree going, I don't see a broken limb. What are you talking about? And so the whole time I'm going, what am I missing?
That's
what am I not supposed to be seeing?
Out.
Well, no, it's just the limb was broken later. But then the problem is, there's the tree that they're talking about with the broken limb. Would you think of that tree as a tree with a broken limb? No, yeah. It just has been trimmed.
Yeah.
So just little things. And the art's not bad, but like that's an example where the art didn't do enough storytelling. So it's been good, but I think it could have been really, really well done. Like I just think how like Snyder would have handled this story. I think it would have been a lot better. So interesting. I mean, it's good. I really like the idea because basically what happens, you have this community, all this stuff happening, all of a sudden a dead body is just dumped in the road and everybody's kind of like, whoa,
not cool, man.
Yeah, totally not cool. So, yeah. And like this M on the hand, they haven't explained it at all. So, but it's been on both covers. I think, no, the other one had a circle with an X in it, but just, yeah, it's just very interesting, but the execution hasn't quite been there. So let's see. What else do I have? I think you guys pretty much hit everything. Shaper, number one. Another, I think, I want to say it was Image. It might not have been. It might have been Dark Horse. But interesting story. Little sci-fi-ish. Man, that's the problem when you read it a week ago. Not bad, not great. Basically about a guy who in the end finds out he's a shapeshifter and he comes from a family of shapeshifters who are being hunted. And Silk 2, this is not my book.
Why didn't you tell me before I bought number 2 today?
No, I'm just saying I
not your book, it's bad, or not
no,
your book,
just,
it's
I,
just
I'm,
not
it's
your
not
deal.
For me.
Yeah.
The art's a little too cartoony.
I just think it's going to be a case. I
just don't care about the character enough to really want to keep going with this.
I wanted to give, like, I like giving a book more than one issue if it's not just flat out bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
except for
bad.
Wonder Woman.
I give that book several issues.
What?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
The Valiant's great. What are you talking about?
No. So, yeah, not bad. Just kind of like Spider-Gwen 2 just didn't grab me and apparently didn't grab a lot of people. There's a lot on the shelf, and sadly, I have a ton of number 3 coming.
Spider-Gwen 2.
Yeah, it's okay, but
I enjoyed 1. I really enjoyed The Edge of Spider-Verse,
okay.
And it's the same creative team.
Yeah.
But 2, I was kind of like, this is losing my interest now.
Yeah.
So, that's
the novelty, the real novelty kind of wore off right away.
I think this is why I bought Silk today, even though I didn't love 1. I don't love the flagship Spider book
right
now, but I want a Spider book.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to find. If there's another one that I like.
Because you're not reading any Avengers books. You're not reading any X books.
Like,
it's
it's the last staple of the Marvel universe that I have left. Like.
Yeah.
Okay. So now for next week, lots of stuff. I mention Puppet Master number 1? So we got Spider-Man number 17. Arkham Manor Endgame. Avengers, Time Runs Out. I read New Avengers that came out this week. Really good, but reading it by itself, no idea what's going on. But it was interesting.
Time is running out now.
8 months, and I think that's part of the problem. This time runs out was 8 months ahead of time. It just, God, it over? And it's been double shimping, and it seems like forever.
They started branding this time runs out way too early.
Yes, they did, and nobody cares. Excitement. The people who have been reading it are enjoying it, but just there's been no time to get in.
The stories might be fine, but it just, I don't know. I've been hearing time runs out for
ever
months now.
Yeah. Avengers Millennium, which is a four-parter. Avengers Rage of Ultron, original graphic novel. Avengers Ultron Forever, number one. So a few Avengers books trying to capitalize on the movie. Batman and Robin Annual, number three. It's an annual week from DC.
Oh, I didn't realize
it's a five Wednesday month. So we got Batman Eternal, final
issue.
April
1st.
Yeah. So there's five Wednesdays in April.
Okay, all right. I was thinking for March, and I'm like,
no, this is April.
So I guess that's the final, the ending of
that. Right. They're kind of using April 1st as the fifth Wednesday of March.
Okay, yeah.
That's kind of how they're doing it. Because you'll see in a sec. Batman Superman Annual, Batwoman Annual number two, Convergence Zero. So this is Zero, and that's the only thing coming. And then we get 8 weeks, four of April, 4 of May.
So there's not much to see at all coming next week.
No, it's just the annuals. But then we're still missing Batman 40. We're missing Superman 40.
Batman
40
is not shipping until May, I think.
I thought I saw it end of April.
I thought it was in May now.
We're still due Wonder Woman.
Secret 6 number 3.
But what number one?
That's June.
Shut up.
What are you telling me to shut up for? That's pretty nice.
It's in the previews. We just read it in previews. Yeah.
I know. Okay.
So Convergence Zero is next week to start that. More Darth Vader 3s. Relax, everybody. Calm down. Doctor Who the Ninth Doctor number 1 is coming out. Dying in the Dead number 2. But number 1 was really good on that. Earth 2 World's End 26, last issue. Gotham Academy Endgame.
I guess that's the other thing. All the weeklies are last issues next
week.
Yeah,
they're all ending. Yep. Guardians of the Galaxy, best story ever, number one. Oh, yeah.
Best story
ever. You know
ever.
It is.
When they got to tell you it's best story ever.
Wait, is it really branded that way?
Yes, that is the title.
What a bunch of doofuses.
Harley Quinn, number 16, the movie poster variant. Hoax Hunters, 2015, number one. That's a new mini from the same creative team, just at a new company. John Romita, Amazing Spider-Man Artifact Edition. I'm looking forward to that. It's got Spider-Man 50 in it. Kanan, the Last Padawan, that's the next Star Wars book from the Clone Wars cartoon.
I thought you would just mispronounce Conan.
Possibly. Looking for group number one.
Great Conan story.
Marvel previews.
Yes. Maybe.
Future's End, number 48, final issue. No Mercy, that's one from Image. I'm sorry, I'm not sure who the creative team is.
It's about the Cobra Kai dojo.
Non-player number one, third print, if you're interested in jumping on that one after 4 years of absence. Puppet Master number one. Please come buy some of these.
That didn't sound desperate at all.
That's my cost. Yeah. That was completely unexpected. Rick and Morty number one, which is from Boom. Oni. An Oni cartoon one. I don't know. Sinestro Annual. Southern Bastards number 8, just for Dave.
Wasn't there just a Sinestro Annual, like, in January?
I wasn't buying it before Godhead.
Okay.
I don't know. Spider-Gwen number 3. Teen Titans Annual number 1. UFOlogy, which I also think is from Boom. That's a James Tinian one, I believe. Uncanny Inhumans number 0. Oh, yeah. Everybody jump on this one.
Yep.
Wonder Woman number 40. Number 40 poster edition. And that's it. I mean, we got a lot of stuff coming. A lot of stuff coming. But those are the new and notables. So, and Puppet Master number 1 is coming out. So if you've ever thought of the movie, come by Puppet Master number 1. Please. So.
Josh?
This is a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. And maybe Adam will be back. See ya. Fast
faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. With my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616.
Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on.